All right, welcome everyone. Ready for another deep dive? Today we're going to tackle something, well, kind of slippery.
Slippery. You trying to butter me up already?
Aha, uh-huh. Very funny. No, we're talking about anointing in the Bible. You know, that whole pouring oil on people thing. But seriously, what's the deal with that?
Yeah, it definitely sounds a little messy for modern sensibilities, but it's super significant. We've got some verses lined up and commentaries, all sorts of stuff to really get into what this anointing business means in the Bible.
Perfect. Because honestly, I hear anointed thrown around and like, is it just a fancy word for chosen? Or is there something more to it?
It's definitely more. It's like, how do I put this? It's like a physical action with this huge spiritual impact.
Ooh, okay. I'm intrigued. So where do we even begin with this?
Well, let's hit the Old Testament first. Got to start at the beginning, right?
Right. Back to the basics.
Exactly. So we've got Exodus 28.41 and 40.1. Both of these talk about anointing priests, specifically Aaron and his sons.
Ah, the OG priests.
Haha, right. So they get this special oil poured on them and boom, they're set apart, consecrated, you know, ready to serve God.
Makes sense. But why the sons too? Was it like a family business back then?
Kind of. It gets into this idea of a perpetual priesthood. Like it wasn't just about Aaron, but establishing this whole lineage.
Ah, so anointing kind of sets up this whole chain of command.
Exactly. Passing the torch, but with oil, I guess. It shows how important this role was to the community, that it had to keep going.
Okay, that's pretty cool. But then we've got King David. Wasn't he anointed too?
Oh, yeah. But that's a whole different vibe. We're talking 1 Samuel 16.14 now. Samuel does the anointing this time. And it's on David, who's just this young shepherd dude.
Not exactly king material on the surface.
Nope. But the verse says, the spirit of the Lord rushed upon David. It's like this huge E moment of divine selection. God's like, yep, this is my guy, even if no one else sees it yet.
So it was more of a hidden anointing, which honestly makes it even more powerful, like destiny, but in secret.
Totally. It makes you wonder who else might have been walking around anointed, but nobody knew.
Whoa, right. Makes you think. Okay, but shifting gears a bit, there's that line in Psalm 23.5. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows.
Mm.
That's always stuck with me.
Such a beautiful image, right? The overflowing cup, it goes beyond just basic needs. It's about abundance, exceeding expectations. That's the kind of blessing God gives.
Yeah. Like, God's not stingy with the good stuff.
Exactly. And it's interesting, that psalm is often read at funerals, too. So even in death, there's this idea of God's continued presence, comfort even.
That's actually really comforting. So we've got priests, kings, everyday blessings, all tied to anointing. But then there's this whole messianic anointing thing, right? What's that all about?
Okay, yeah, that's where things get really interesting. We got to look at Isaiah 61.1 for this one. It talks about someone anointed to bring good news to the poor. And traditionally, this is interpreted as referring to the Messiah.
Right, because Messiah literally means anointed one, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So Jesus is kind of fulfilling this Old Testament idea.
Exactly. And you see that play out in the New Testament, too. Acts 10.38 says Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power to heal and preach. So that anointing equips him for his specific mission, the one God gave him.
So it's like the whole concept of anointing kind of levels up when we get to the New Testament. What changes exactly?
Well, the focus shifts more to the spiritual side of things. Like in 2 Corinthians 1.21-22, it says that Christians are also anointed by God, but with the Holy Spirit.
So less about the literal oil and more about an internal transformation.
Right. It's about what's happening inside. And 1 John 2.20 and 2.27 really emphasize this. They say that this anointing with the Holy Spirit, it brings knowledge and guidance directly from God. It's this super personal connection.
Wow. So we went from oil on priests to the Holy Spirit living inside believers. That's quite the evolution.
It is, but it makes you think, doesn't it? Like, if we consider ourselves anointed by the Holy Spirit, what does that mean for how we live? What are our missions?
Ooh, good question. Lots to think about there. Well, this has been an awesome deep dive. Thanks for breaking it all down.
My pleasure. Always happy to get into the nitty-gritty of this stuff.
Well, thanks for joining us, everyone. We hope you enjoyed this exploration of anointing. Until next time.